Chapter 7. Travel to the next station with Hardy. When morning came, Hardy arrived. We were to depart for the next station. I got up, dressed and mounted my horse. My walking stick was in my hand and my sword by my side. Hardy gave me my visa, which he said would be required. We started and were soon out of the city limits. Here the ground was sandy and slippery like encountered in jungles. I also saw some odd creatures like monkeys. Then I realized that they were humans, as they had no tails, walked on two legs, and had no body hair, only their faces were of monkeys. Blood and pus emitted from their private parts accompanied by an unbelievable stink. I asked Hardy, "Who are these creatures, and what land is this? The stink is so bad, I feel as if my head will burst." He replied, "This is the land of lust and desire. These people were adulterers. Beware you don't deviate from the straight path, or it might well spell the end for you." Fearful of going astray, I tightened the rein. Though the path was straight, it was marshy and a slippery quagmire. At times my mount would sink down to his knees in the marshy earth. I thought, "It is indeed a blessing that I have this mount. May God have mercy on my family that they provided this for me. It is indeed true that, he who marries safeguards half his religion, and he should be watchful of Allah in the other half." Now we saw some people resembling animals. They were hanging from nails on posts and their testicles had been nailed to the posts with iron pins. Some were also being whipped with iron rods and they were screaming in pain like yelping dogs. But the men with the whips in their hands would reply, "Go away and keep quiet." It was as if the scene in Surah Sajjadah verse 12 is in front of us, "If you see when the sinners stand in front of God. With their heads bent low, God, we have seen and heard. Now send us back that we may do good deeds. We have now attained certainty." These were people who used to indulge in various forbidden sexual pleasures. Suddenly the darkies arrived. They literally attacked some people. And tried to frighten the horses. They also beckoned to us to try the land adjoining the path. I saw that the adjoining land was so hard that the horse's feet did not even leave an impression on the ground. But I obeyed Hardy's orders. I did not care whether the going was tough or easy, my only aim was to follow the straight path and not to deviate from it. Because salvation lies only in following the straight path, I saw that those who had obeyed their darkey's beckoning were able to manage only a few steps before sliding down up to their necks in the marsh. It did not seem possible that they would ever manage to come out. Some did manage it, but they were so filthy black and covered from top to toe with the mire, that they could not be recognized. In a short time, the mire seemed to melt away the flesh from their bodies as if it was not mire at all but hot charcoal. This scene scared and subdued me firmly and carefully. I held the rein and thought. Praise is for God who prevented me from committing sins. I could hear other travelers too loudly thanking God, and expressing their gratefulness. I remarked to Hardy, "Our holy prophet had said that if you see anybody in difficulties, softly thank God that you are not suffering similarly. But do not thank God loudly, that the other person might overhear and be hurt." Hardy replied, "That was for your earthly life because there, all believers of God are to be respected. But here is the stage of reward and punishment. So thank God loudly in order that those who are being punished may hear and suffer more and also, so that whatever was hidden to them may come out in the open, darkness may be replaced with light, blindness with sight and slumber with awakening. And they may realize that the earthly life as they led it was in reality a dead city of darkness and as verse 64 of Surah Ankabut says, the abode of the hereafter is in fact, true life." On hearing this I thanked God in louder tones. Then I saw that the problems seemed to increase for the wretched people around me. The earth quaked, the wind raged, and the sky darkened. Hails resembling stones were falling. All around us was a dreadful scene, and the wretched persons seemed to sink further down in the mire. Whenever they would manage to come out, a heavy stone would fall from the sky, burying them down again. Trembling with fear at this state of affairs, I asked Hardy, "Which land is this, and who are these people who are being punished so severely?" Hardy, who was flying above my head, had himself gone pale and weak with fear. He replied, "This is also a land of lust. These people were homosexuals. Now increase your speed, so that we may get out of here as soon as possible. If we stay here longer, I am afraid we too might get caught in this punishment." He who is complacent or unobjecting at the deeds of a people, and who does not leave them, at once, after being with them, will be included with, and treated as, one of them. I asked, "Is the slime and mire in fact, the substance of lust which has taken this form here?" "My mount cannot even go forward," he said. "Yes, that is so. But there is no other way out. You will just have to strive more. Cover your head with this shield so that the stones do not hit you, and whip your mount forward, so that with God's blessing you may get out of here." As verse 98 of Surah Nisa says, "Was not the earth of God spacious, that, in order to be able to obey God, you could migrate?" We travelled only a couple of miles more to find ourselves out of the bedeviled place. I thanked God, and gathered myself once more. I whipped the horse a few times, and suddenly he was off like a shot. Hardy, who all this time had been travelling right above me like a falcon, was left far behind. "Vy in hastening towards your Lord's forgiveness and a garden whose width is as that of the heavens and the earth." Surah Hadid verse 21, suddenly the accursed darkey arrived. My mount shied and reared at his sight, throwing me down. I was hurt badly, and the horse's forelegs got trapped in the mire, and freeing him again was quite a problem. After great difficulty I succeeded. Hardy arrived just then, and rubbed me gently with his hands, healing my bruises. Then he helped me to mount again and secured me safely in the saddle, and taking hold of the reins led the way until we were at last out of the place. I complained to Hardy, "As soon as you leave, darkey arrives and always causes trouble." Hardy replied, "No, it is the other way round. As soon as he arrives, I leave. And this too, is because of your own deeds." In front was yet another land of desire, which we entered. Here there were people who used to be very heavy eaters. On the right were those who only ate from rightful and lawful means, but always used to overeat and stuff themselves full. Their faces were now like donkeys and cows, and they were being punished but lightly. On the left, however, were those who had been mindless about right and wrong, lawful and forbidden, about wealth which was their own and that which had been forcibly or fraudulently taken from others. They had greedily laid their hands on all within reach. Now they had huge bellies and lean limbs, and their faces resembled those of pigs and bears, and they were being severely punished. It was as if their bellies were full of fire. These peoples are like cattle, in fact more astray. Surah Auf, verse 179, we quickly walked past this place, and reached another. Here was a rest house in a barren and deserted field in which nothing grew. A few travellers of the hereafter were resting here, and eating from their backpacks. As my limbs were still very painful due to my fall, Hardy took out an ointment from my pack and massaged me with it. Instantly the pain vanished and the bruises healed. I asked Hardy, "What medicine is that?" He said, "This was the hidden praise on earth. Whenever you were blessed with any gift, you used to thank Allah and praise Him in your heart. Just as on earth praising Allah is a remedy for everything except death, so in the hereafter it is a remedy for all difficulties and problems for him who used to praise Allah on earth. In the tradition of Qudsi, Allah says, 'My servant praised and thanked me, believing that all the bounties he received were from me, and also believed that the dispersing and easing of all his problems had been through my blessing. So, O angels, bear witness that I will increase my blessings and bounties on him on earth and in the hereafter, and as I solved his problems on the earth, so will I help him in the hereafter.'" Chapter 8. the station of bliss and peace. We spent the night here, and resumed our journey in the morning. Hardy had already informed me that by evening we would be out of the land of desire, but then we would have to face the punishments due to the sins of the tongue. The previous punishments were due to indulgence in immoral sexual pleasures, and these would be due to the sins of the tongue, but these would be as harsh as those. He had said that there would be no provision of water or food, and so it would be advisable to carry some water on the horse, and I should myself travel on foot. He also told me to carry my shield, as it would prove very useful. I asked, "What is this shield made of?" He replied, "This is the result of your fasts. You fasted and remained hungry and thirsty to please God, and these fasts prevented you not only from immoral sexual indulgence, but also in fact from disobedience of all kinds. Fasting is a shield to protect from the fire of hell." We had only just started when Darkie appeared. I said, "Be gone, O cursed being." He said, "Why don't you yourself move away from me, instead?" So, I moved a few steps away and continued my journey with Hardy, but Darkie remained alongside on the left. On both sides various animals were visible, for example dogs, wolves, monkeys, rats, snakes, scorpions, sheep, etc., all of different colors. They were fighting amongst themselves, attacking, and tearing away at each other, whenever they got the chance. Flames emerged from the ears and mouths of some of them. Sometimes they would see a mirage and would go there in hopes of finding water, but finding it dry would return dejected. Some were eating the dead carcasses of others. Some would fall in dark and deep wells, and as they would fall, huge flames would emerge. I asked Hardy, "Who are these wells for?" "They are meant for people who laugh at other faithfuls and make fun of them, whether through words, hints, gestures, making faces, eye movements, etc. This is their destination. As God has said, hell is for the fault finders and insulters. As for those who are eating carcasses, they were the backbiters. And the ones with flaming ears, they used to listen to others backbiting. And these dogs, wolves and cats fighting each other used to curse, blame and insult each other. And those with yellow faces and two tongues were the fault finder, liars and complainers." Here the air was extremely hot. I kept asking Hardy for water. Sometimes he would give me a little, and sometimes none. He kept saying that the journey was lengthy and our store of water was meager, which we would have to make last until the end. I asked him why he had taken so little to start with, and he replied, "You did not make yourself capable of taking more." I asked, "Why did the capability decrease?" He said, "You are yourself to blame, because you did not drink much of piety then, and so your capacity cannot increase now. The more watchful and pious you had been on earth, the more water you would have had now. Nothing can be done about it now. Haven't you read the opening verse of Surah Mominoon? Certainly the faithful have succeeded, who used to be fearful in their prayers and abstained from meaningless pastimes. You neither abstained from such pastimes nor were you fearful in your prayers. Obviously you will now reap what you had sown. Whoever has done a grain of good shall see it, and whoever has done a grain of evil shall see it." Then he pointed in a certain direction and asked me what I could see there. It seemed like white and black and flames all mixed together. But when I looked carefully, it was a green garden, with dense trees, full of fruits. Suddenly I realized that they were burning. Shocked, I turned to Hardy and asked, "What is happening there?" He replied that the garden had been made from the praise and remembrance of God by the faithfuls, but when these faithfuls lied or indulged in backbiting, or insulting, the garden went up in flames. That is, their sins caused the reward of their good deeds to go waste. Had their faith been strong enough, they would have given more thought and importance to the gardens they had prepared and would not have allowed them to burn by indulging in such acts. When their owners reach here and realize what has happened, they will be extremely sorry, but sorrow would now be useless. That is why all the prophets had continuously warned about the effects of good and bad deeds, as these cannot be seen whilst on earth. In the beginning of the Quran, God linked piety to faith in the unseen. This is guidance for the pious, those who have faith in the unseen and who stand firm their prayers. When we reached near these burnt gardens, suddenly I felt a cool breeze which blew away the ashes. In a little while the garden was once more green, with lush trees laden with fruits, chirping birds and cool lakes. On earth, the faithful must have either repented for past sins or had sent fresh deeds. I thought that if the earthlings were aware of what I had just seen, they would die with sorrow at having ever allowed their gardens to burn. Hardy informed me that this was the first land of the Valley of Peace and here there was peace on all sides. He said, "Rest your stick and your shield on the saddle and let the mount graze in the field so that he too may be rested by the time we are ready and leave." Hardy then said that we could take a break from our journey and stay in that place for 10 days, in order that I might recover after the tiring travel and regain strength, which would be required in the forthcoming leg, as there we would have to face many thieves, highwaymen and pirates. And as I did not have the required strength to face them, he suggested that I should visit my old home once more, the coming Friday, to check if my family had sent me any gifts which could prove useful. I said, "Hardy, you yourself told me that we had arrived in the Valley of Peace. Now you expect me to believe that there are robbers and pirates in this valley. I feel that you are merely trying to dissuade me. I certainly did not expect this from you." So saying, I started crying. Hardy said, "My friend, do not distrust me. You are not aware how dark and narrow the coming route is. Our route in the Valley of Peace lies adjacent to the Valley of Punishment, where all sorts of punishments are being meted out. The slightest slip will mean a fall into that valley where even I would be unable to help you. And you are aware that Darkie is constantly trying to mislead you. If you don't spend the next 10 days here to recover, you might well have to spend 2 months in the Valley of Punishment." I said, "Do you mean to say that I have to face the stage of the bridge, Pule Sir, now?" "This I cannot believe," he said. "I have already told you that whatever is happening here is the similitude of the events to take place on the Day of Judgment. Consider this route to be the image of that bridge. These stages have to be crossed and it will be wise to provide for them in good time." Anyhow, Friday night I went home once again. There I saw that my wife had married again, and was busy trying to make her new husband happy. My children had separated and gone their different ways and were running individual and separate businesses. Dejected and forlorn, I sat on a branch near my house. I could see that people were deeply engrossed in their worldly affairs. I thought, if only they would think of their own hereafter, even if for a moment. But no, they were busy planning their future, and their children's future. I recalled the Holy Prophet's tradition: in the last ages, wives will prove to be the undoing of men, and when not wives, then children and relatives. I was deep in such thoughts when suddenly my eyes fell on a room in my house. My sons and their wives had gathered and were sitting with their children, talking with each other and eating some fruits. One of them said to the other, "The tree which bore this fruit had been sown by our late father. Now he is lying in a grave under mounds of earth and we are eating its fruit." The other son replied, "How wrong you are. He must be eating tastier fruits in heaven." The first one said, "Yes, you are right. He used to love me a lot. To please me and make me happy, he often used to buy me gifts. May God bless him. May God bless him. He used to buy gifts for me too. He would buy books and pens whenever I required. To be sure, he was a religious man, and it was his wish that we too would become religious," said the other. They spoke well of me for some time, then one remarked that as it was Thursday night, it would be good to recite Quran for me. One of them started reciting Surah Dukhan and the other Surah Dahir for me. I cannot describe how happy this made me. I prayed for their well-being and returned to my current abode. Chapter 9. The last station, the Valley of Peace. When I returned, I saw that my mount was ready for the journey and Hardy was packing a portmanteau on it. I asked him where it had come from. He said that an angel had just delivered it, saying that it contained a gift from Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. This was the result of Surah Dukhan, as this surah was related to her, and the other contained a gift from Hazrat Ali, as Surah Daher was connected to him. They had sent these gifts and had requested that we take a path well away from Valley of Burhut, Valley of Punishment, so that the hot air from it would not bother me. I asked, "Is it possible to open them and see the contents?" He said, "Not now, they are not required yet. When it becomes necessary, they will open by themselves." I was dazed with happiness. I climbed my mount and started. After some time, we reached the land of greed and avarice. There we saw people with faces like dogs. Some of them were healthy and strong, others weak and frail. There were dead bodies lying here and there. The dogs would approach these in order to eat them, but would fall to fighting amongst themselves. They would fight each other fiercely until they were almost dead with the fatigue and tension, and the carcasses remained untouched. Fresh packs would then approach. The stronger ones would attack the weaker ones and make them run away, but were also unable to enjoy the carcasses because of their own internal competition for supremacy in each one's desire to have all of it alone, without sharing. The whole ground seemed to be one big battlefield. The world is a dead body and those who desire it, dogs. Some dogs were eating these carcasses, but smoke was bellowing from their heads and fire from their behinds, and even other dogs would not approach them. Hardy informed me that they used to take bribes and used to embezzle or steal wealth belonging to orphans. Those who eat the wealth of orphans eat fire in their stomachs. There is a famous tradition of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, which describes almost similar conditions. This is quoted in the book Roi Rehan from the book Coffee, quoting Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, as saying that he and Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her, once visited the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, and found him in tears. They asked him the cause and he replied, "O Ali, the night that I went for Mi'raj, ascension, I saw some women of my Ummah who were being so severely punished that I became concerned for them and started crying. El saw a woman who had been hung by her breasts. Then I saw a second woman who was eating her own flesh and a fire raged below her. A third woman was hanging by her tongue and boiling water was being poured down her throat. A fourth was bent double, hand and feet tied together, snakes and scorpions crawling all over her. A fifth was deaf, dumb and blind, enclosed in a cage of fire, her brains oozing out of holes in her skull. Her body was breaking to pieces due to leprosy. Another was hung by her feet, inside and over. Yet another woman's body was being shredded to pieces by scissors made of fire. One woman had a head of a pig and a body of a donkey and was being given several kinds of punishments. Another had the face of a dog. Fire was entering her body from her behinds and coming out of her mouth, and the angels were giving her a beating with iron rods. Hazrat Fatima, peace be upon her, then inquired of her father, peace be upon him and his progeny, "Please, tell me, what had these women done?" He, peace be upon him and his progeny, replied, "Listen, beloved one, she who was hanging by her breasts used to deny her husband his rightful pleasure. The one hanging by her feet, used to go out of her house without her husband's permission. The one eating her own flesh used to beautify her and show her body to men other than her husband. The one who was tied hands and feet together, with snakes and scorpions on her, never used to care about the filthy and unclean, or najasat, and was not careful about bathing regularly after menses, intercourse etc., thus taking her prayers lightly. The deaf, dumb and blind used to bear children through adultery but would claim they were her husband's. The one whose body was being cut by scissors made of fire never took care of her hijab in front of Namahrams, men other than those allowed to see her. The one whose body was being burned, and who was eating her own intestines, used to provide other women to men for sex. The one with the face of a pig and body of a donkey was backbiter and a liar. And the one with the face of a dog, with fire entering from her behinds and coming out of her face, was a jealous woman. Then the prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, said, sorrowful is the plight of the woman who makes her husband angry, and happiness awaits her who makes him happy. These conditions are descriptive of the sufferings of the soul, to be born in Berzakh. The day of judgment will be even more severe and harsh. I remarked to Hardy, Hardy, we had decided to travel well away from the Valley of Punishment. How is it then that we are here? Have we lost our way? He said, this is just the image of that valley. Its hot smoke won't reach you. We came out of the land of greed to enter the land of jealousy. In this there were numerous workshops. Dark men resembling darkies were at work. The machinery was making such a deafening roar that one could not hear anything else. Dust and smoke had covered everything. The robot-like machines looked like huge giants and were made of a metal harder than steel, and these were moving all about the place. One of these approached us and stopped just in front. Suddenly Darkie 2 flew in, looking like black smoke. I turned around and, much to my dismay, could see no sign of Hardy anywhere. Darkie said, want to see the machines at work? I bet you have never seen anything like this on Earth. Though I wished to see the workshops in detail, but since the suggestion came from Darkie and since all his previous suggestions had landed me in trouble, I turned a deaf ear, and whipped my mount on. Reading the Surah Falak, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of the Dawn, from the evil of what he has created, from the evil of darkness when it overspreads. From the evil of malignant witchcraft, and from the evil of the envier when he envies. Darkie remarked, pity, pity. You used to recite it on earth, but never tried to put it in practice. It's not going to help you now? Fear overcame me. I saw Darkie approach the machine, and then he disappeared. I hoped that he had gone away, and was wondering where Hardy had gone when suddenly, Darkie reappeared in the form of a fearful creature. My horse shied at the sight and went off track, falling and throwing me down also just near the machine. I was hurt so badly that my body lost all feelings and I could not even get up. The dreadful fuming machines were approaching nearer and nearer, as if they were going to engulf me. Darkie was screaming with laughter and saying, go on, read from the envier when he envies. O fool, name me one scholar and learned man who has been free of jealousy. You managed to escape from my previous traps and this has made my heart bleed. I'll see to it that you don't ever get out of this one. So saying, he caught me and tried to crush me. His making fun of me angered me. Though I was weak, I started to fight. But he was stronger and I could see that he was overpowering me. When I saw this, involuntarily I started calling Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, for help, Ya Ali Madat. No sooner had I said this, all the machines which had been about to crush me, suddenly started a disorderly retreat, and in the process crashed into each other, breaking into pieces. Darkie 2 tried to run away, but was crushed under the wheels of a giant roller. I said, wretched person, you were making fun of me. Now you are in the same boat that I was in. And nobody deserves it more than you do. This was my last encounter with Darkie. I managed to come back to the main road, which was the straight road and the correct path. It had only been Darkie's mischief that my mount had gone astray. But though back, I was too weak to go on or even get up. Each and every joint ached, and I was extremely thirsty. It was hot and the atmosphere was full of the stink and smoke. Suddenly I saw Hardy running towards me. As he approached, he took out the portmanteau which contained Hazrat Ali's, peace be upon him, gift, and from it took out a crystal glass bottle. From it he poured out some clean, cool and sweet water which he offered to me. The water quenched my thirst and refreshed me physically, mentally and spiritually. Verily, the righteous shall drink a cup tempered with camphor, Capho. I saw that the entire ordeal had been too much for the mount. He suddenly fell down and died. Now I was left without a horse. I picked up the backpack and put it on my back. Hardy picked up the portmanteau and we resumed our journey. The desert was larger than our Sahara Desert and had become dark and gloomy due to the constant emission of fumes by the machines. I noticed that men made of fireballs were tumbling out of the machines and falling down onto the ground just like cigarettes from a vending machine. Hardy informed me that on Earth these people had been jealous of the faithful, due to one cause or another and used to show their jealousy by word or deed. Sorrowful fate awaited them inside these machines and due to constriction, this fire of jealousy came out from there within. He quoted the tradition that jealousy is like fire and it devours faith like fire devours wood. The route being dark, Hardy walked in front and I followed. I remarked to him, "It seems to me that we are off track." Hazrat Ali's recommendation had been that I should not be troubled at all, but I have never before faced such troubles as these. Hardy replied, "No, no, we are not lost. The fact is that hardly anybody is completely free of jealousy. Everybody experiences it. Though in varying degrees. Had you not had Hazrat Fatima Zahra's recommendation with you, your fate would have been no different from the people you saw. But remember, most of these unfortunate people after serving their time here will be released and will join the ranks of the blessed and happy ones." As the air was hot and stuffy and my back was also troubling me, we walked fast in order to cross this land as soon as possible. The fear that Darkie might still be alive and following me, urged me on yet faster. Rank and stinking sweat oozed from my body and wet my clothes. My ankles were dead tired and painful. It was with the utmost difficulty that we managed to emerge from this land at last, and then we heaved a sigh of relief. A cool breeze started blowing and fountains of sweet water erupted. The mountains and valleys were lush green. We sat down to rest by a fountain. I said, "Hardy, it seems that my darkie has been crushed under the wheels of the machines and has been killed." He replied, "No, certainly not. He never dies. However, in this particular land he won't approach you because now we are quite far from the valley of Barhut. In front of us lies the land where people are being punished for their pride and arrogance. As you had managed to rid yourself of these traits in your lifetime, you will not be troubled there. From here the Valley of Peace is not far." As we went on, the atmosphere kept on becoming pleasant. There was sweet scent in the air, luscious trees were in abundance and mountains covered with dense trees and waterfalls of sparkling water could be seen. In the mountain plains, numerous tents of fine white silk were visible.